Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 123, your one-stop for manga news and commentary for the week of November 24th, 2014. I am your main host, Derek, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mo.
Good morning, everyone.
Sounds like
it's afternoon
something.
Here for me.
yes, it is. It's well past the afternoon for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a... Tis a... good week-ish.
Yeah, it's...
if you know...
Week of Thanksgiving.
Yes, it is. But, yeah, it's, yeah.
Whoa.
I honestly don't have anything to say besides it's Thanksgiving, so...
I don't like turkey. I tried turkey a long time ago. I don't like turkey. Even my mom doesn't like turkey.
Yeah, well...
Turkey's not as good as chicken.
Get out of America.
I like turkey.
You can't be in America and not like turkey.
Yeah, I hate turkey.
Man, you damn turkey.
I don't mean it. I don't mean the country turkey, but...
Yes, he does.
They have issues too, I guess.
Anyway... Let's go ahead and let's go over the news. The Japanese comic rankings for November 17th through the 23rd. And in 10th place, we have Terraform Mars 11, OVA edition.
9th place, Baby Steps, Volume 33.
8th place, My Love Story, Volume 7.
7th place, Shijo Saki... it's Kenichi, the Midas Disciple, Volume 60.
Yep.
His strong disciple, Kenichi. Mm.
6th place, Hozuki no Reitetsu, Volume 16.
5th place, Noragami, Volume 12.
4th place, Ace of Diamond, Volume 4. 44.
Oh, yeah, volume 4. 3rd place, Terraform Mars, Volume 11.
2nd place, Fairy Tail, Volume 46.
And 1st place, Neon Genesis Evangelion, Volume 14, the Premium Limited Edition, the final volume, by the way.
Wait, when's it coming out here? Volume 13 came out at the same time. So, you bastards. It's not coming out till February.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. That makes absolutely no sense. Because when Volume 13 came out, they released it simultaneously, probably because it had been so frickin' long. Although I'm kind of wondering what they're going to do with the with the large editions that we have. Because recently I noticed they've been re-releasing the individual volumes in the... in standard manga format with new cover designs and everything. And I was looking at those and I'm like, yeah, that's nice and all, but the big ones, the 3-in-1s, I want some of those rare, nice 3-in-1 editions. And so I'm kind of wondering, since they cover, those 3-in-1s cover everything except for the last two volumes, I wonder if they're going to release a special edition containing the last two volumes or something. That would be... nice, but all right, February. I guess we get to look forward to finally finishing this manga in February. Quick question. Yes. We did go over volume 13, right?
Yeah, we did. It was the one with the pass thing and the summer thing.
Okay,
that was last year, then we went over, I think. We went over that last year.
Ah, yes. I don't know why, but for some reason... Yeah, I don't know why, but for some reason, Evangelion is one of those manga where I read it, and then later on, I can't remember a damn thing about it.
Well, yeah, it's like that for many manga for me, too. So.
Yeah, oh well. Let's go ahead and move on to the New York Times manga bestseller list for November 9th through the 15th. And in 10th place, we have UQ Holder, Volume 3.
I wonder why. Anyways, 9th place is Black Butler, Volume 18.
And in 8th place is Attack on Titan 1. Good grief.
I wonder how long... if it gets to the week of 100, we're going to have like a little news going. Attack on Titan, Volume 1, beyond the week, beyond the list for 100 weeks. Like,
yeah, that's almost there. Well, yeah, what's next?
3/4 away there. Anyways... 7th place, Attack on Titan No Regrets, Volume 2.
6th place, All You Need Is Kill.
5th place, No Game, No Life, Volume 1.
4th place, Fairy Tail, Volume 43.
3rd place, Bleach, Volume 62. Oh, that one.
2nd place, Nisekoi, False Love, Volume 6.
And 1st place, Attack on Titan, Volume 14.
Yeah, we still haven't gone over the last couple of that. I'm kind of Attack on Titan'd out, honestly. I mean, I enjoyed it and all, but I've kind of gotten to the point where I'm like, I could buy the latest volume, but I think I'll pass for now.
It's got good plot development, but in terms of character, it's not the best.
Yeah, no, you don't. That's, I think that is kind of the problem. And I mean, one could say that the reason for that is that so that, you know, he can kill them off more readily. But the at the same time, it's, I don't know. I know some people really like them, but I'm not all that.
Nah, except one, but that's it.
Yes. Wait. All right. Yeah. Let's move on to the North American anime and manga releases for November 23rd through 29th. And for anime, we've got Amagami SS Blu-ray and DVD, Blu-ray Complete Collection and DVD Complete Collection.
Next, we have Log Horizon for the Blu-ray and DVD Collection 1.
And we have Road to Ninja, Naruto the Movie, DVD and Blu-ray or DVD?
Yeah, that price drop. And Nisekoi Fossil of Blu-ray, Volume 1.
Might consider that. Manga releases. We have As Many As There Are Stars.
Attack on Titan Junior High, Volume 2.
We have... Oh, son of a bitch. We have Bust to Bust. Just guess. Guess what
that is. It's better than the titles I've said like the last week or so, man.
Yep.
Next, we have Card Fight Vanguard, Volume 4.
Fairy Tale, Volume 44.
Fantasy Hentai Schoolgirls.
What? Weird. That one doesn't even have a link to explain what the hell it is.
It just says.
Alright. Itazura Nakis, Volume 11.
Makunouchi Deluxe, Volume 3.
Puru Puru Hearts.
It's Puru Puru, okay. Witchcraft. Also, and both of the two that we get for Airhand.
Yeah. Holic Ray, Volume 2.
Okay. And for other releases, we only have one Persona Q for Nintendo 3DS game. It's kind of funny. I was listening to one of the battle things from Persona Q, and my little sister was like, wait, what's this? Is that Persona? Like, I chose Persona. Yes. Huh. I guess it's probably because she must have seen me playing 4 or 3 one time. She just heard me, it sounds similar. It works.
Indeed. Yep, well, do we have any other news this week?
Nah, I'm on news now.
No news, oh my gosh. Sorry. Anyway, in that case, let's go ahead and move straight on to the manga review, or as it was once called, the manga recommendation and review section.
Yeah, we used to recommend, but now we don't.
Now we're just like, yeah, we're just going to talk about the individual volumes, because quite frankly, I can't be bothered to read an entire manga on a weekly basis, or even on a bi-weekly basis.
We got to do at least once a month at some point. It'd be nice to do that. You go, hey, look, this manga reading, I recommend you read this. Boku no Hero Academia, ding it.
Nah, yes. For a second, I was about to say, I thought you were going to say Boku no Pico, and I was... I was about to react by saying,
My Hero Academia.
Yeah, get out. Get off my bus.
I would jump off the building if I ended up saying that.
Yes, you would. But, all right, yeah, that's actually not a terrible idea, doing like a once a month, do an entire manga recommendation, which just do a quick short segment on that. I could live with that.
My Hero Academia is actually climbing pretty... It's still a little early to say, but still, it's climbing up pretty good, though.
Yeah.
With how it's going.
All right, well, let's go ahead and talk about Fairy Tail Volume 44.
Yeah, so,
this is the one where things start going a little better for the viewers. I mean, sorry.
The Raiders.
I mean the characters.
The viewers.
I was on. I'd randomly opened to a page that showed Mira Jane in one of the demonizing tanks, and she was just there, almost completely naked. And I was thinking, it'd be funny if I'd say something like, "It's going better for the readers because mucho sexy fan service." And then I was like, "No, do not say that. It is going better for the viewers." Son of a. That is entirely not what I wanted. But yeah.
I said readers, though, so I pretty much said what you weren't going to say.
Yes, you did. And then I explained it, therefore making me look like a pervert. But anyway, in this volume, so, Fairy Tail gets blown up, but turns out everyone survives. Wendy goes after Face. Mira and Urza get free. The rest of Fairy Tail attacks, and they all start fighting. And yep, there are basically fights against the different enemies. One of the ones they fight against the dude that can absorb souls and whatnot.
And, oh yeah, Ranma.
Yeah. And so. Yeah, so they end up beating him, and then Wendy goes to take care of Face. She ends up fighting against
Ezo.
Yep, and she wins.
Because Dragon Force!
Yeah. Nah, I should have had that on my... Should have had that ready to play on my phone. But anyway, yeah, it's actually... I think this is one of the only one-on-one fights that Wendy has ever participated in. I know she helped in the Edelas arc. She helped with fighting the dragon robot alongside with Natsu and Gajiel. But I think this is the first time she's really been on her own and fought. Oh. And that was pretty awesome because so much of her time in this manga is spent as being the, I'm the cute little girl. I'm not a fan service character, I swear. Actually, yes, I am. I am a fan service character for a very particular group of readers of whom we will not talk.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So it is nice to see the character actually have a good fight. And, I mean, that's kind of the thing about Fairy Tail, is that, I mean, granted, the excessive fan service is always ridiculous, but at the same time, Fairy Tail is more open to having fights, to having one-on-one fights with female characters that don't end with them getting saved by the men. You know, I mean, granted, Urza isn't the one that finished it in the Tower of Paradise arc. Natsu came in and saved her, but she has had many, many, many fights where it was just her, and at the same time, you've had several fights where Lucy was the only one fighting, or Lucy and Juvia together, or Juvia on her own, and now Wendy on her own, and Mira Jane, of course, has fought on her own, so, and many of the female characters end up winning their fights, so, Fairy Tail.
At least, yeah. Majima treats his female properly, yeah. Even if they aren't as properly wicked, better.
Yeah, and I mean, granted, one could say that with how often the guys end up topless, there's equal opportunity fan service, but it is very obvious that the female fan service is more exaggerated, and thus one could make the argument of, oh, look, he's showing off women's breasts, etc., and I wouldn't argue against the fact that he obviously does spend way too much time focusing on the boobs and the butts of his female characters, but at the same time, one still has to acknowledge that he does give them, you know, their own chances to stand out and be awesome, which mm-hmm. is more than I can say for Naruto. Which is
I thought we're not talking about that anymore.
No, what I meant was, Mo, will you shut the hell up and stop talking about every single freaking day through chat? I was getting a little tired. He was like, and another reason why Naruto sucks. I'm like, hey, please be quiet. Okay, I'll talk about why Bleach is actually okay. And I'm like, will you please shut up? I'll just talk about something else. No, but seriously, this is a valid time to talk about...
Okay.
Yeah. This is a valid time to mention Naruto because... Naruto really never had any fights that were good to the female characters. Tsunade, for example, has had maybe... She has not had a single fight where it was just her and she was the only one kicking butt. In her first introduction during the fight against Orochimaru and Kabuto, she fought well, but in the end it came down to Jiraiya and Naruto saving her. And then other than that, nothing. Sakura stands out as the only female character in Naruto that had a solo fight where she didn't have to be saved by a man. Granted, she had help from another female character, but that's... I'll take it, okay?
That's the other female character dying.
Yeah. And that was kind of the point... It's really sad about Naruto. It's like, that was the point where... You kind of felt some hope. We're like, oh, this is going to be good. He's treating the characters right. And then afterwards, no. No. And, for example, Bleach. Bleach does better than Naruto and is probably about on par with Fairy Tail in women fighting their own battles and winning, except... actually, no. No, Bleach is a couple levels below Fairy Tail as far as women fighting at their own battles and winning, because we had the fight between Rangiku and Kira in the Soul Society arc. That was her only solo fight, and she won it, which was fantastic. Then other than that, anytime Rukia has fought, she's fought well, but then she gets defeated and has to have a man save her.
What about when Orihime fought that hollow thing with Itatsuki?
That one counts. Mm-hmm. But it's harder to define them. Bleach manages to be a few more rungs higher, go up a few rungs on the pro-feminism scale compared to Fairy Tail, because while it does have massive fan service, pun intended, it does not exaggerate it as much. I mean, honestly, the closest you get to fan service is if you have a reader that gets off on repetitive fights. But at the same time, it still has fan service. It still has the opportunity for fan service in that he likes to design very busty women. So, fair enough, but still, it doesn't actually give women their own chance to fight. And let's say, for example, comparing it to One Piece, because everyone compares Fairy Tail to One Piece, even though there's absolutely no freaking reason, because anyone that were to pick up the latest volume of Fairy Tail and the latest volume of One Piece would say, what the hell are you idiots talking about? These two series look nothing alike.
Yep.
But nonetheless, if you compare, One Piece has the advantage of, it has less fan service than Fairy Tail. The art style is less geared towards being fan service-y. And while it does have fan service in recent years, it's gotten more fan service, it's usually only been one panel or one page or whatnot, and then that's it. As opposed to Fairy Tail, where it's several pages a week. Just the characters standing around most of the time would count as
sometimes fan three service. Chapters. Yeah. Great.
But
I think so, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the thing with One Piece is that it always gave Nami and Robin their own fights for a few arcs, at least one or two. But the problem is that One Piece has been dropping in favor as far as that is concerned, because there have been fewer moments where the women do their own fighting, and the fan service has increased compared to previously. So even though I'd say One Piece, One Piece is obviously better, it is kind of interesting. I do think Fairy Tail does still beat out One Piece as far as female involvement in fights, and especially in solo fights that they actually win on their own without help from a man.
That is true. I mean, there's only one fight that Nami had, I think. One fight that she had that she won. That was against
on her own, yeah. She's had a couple. She fought against what's-her-face in Baroque Works.
Oh!
She fought against Khalifa in Enies Lobby.
Yeah, but that was, yeah, it's true. Sanji never actually put a foot on her, so I guess it's always a good one.
Yeah, and then, where's my computer?
You can't count Absalom, though.
Yeah, no, Absalom doesn't count, but, you know, that one, that was kind of like the point where things started being a little, it's a little damsel in distressy for me right there. But at the same time, as much as one can say, yay, Fairy Tail for giving the characters their own fights and letting them, you know, giving them their own fights and not, you know, not having them be saved by someone most of the time. Granted, at the end of this volume, Wendy ends up sacrificing herself to destroy Face, but then Doron Bolt shows in and saves her, which, fair enough, I don't have a problem with, because she defeated the actual enemy herself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing with Fairy Tail is very much that, yes, It is a bonus that they you know, that the women get their own fights and stand basically on par with the men for quite a few of them. I mean, you still have Gray and Natsu that are the best, but you've got Erza that is the strongest and Mira that is pretty much on her level for the most part. And it does seem like a bit of a shame that people don't pay attention to that aspect more, but it is an irrefutable fact that Fairy Tail does unfortunately have a great deal of fan service that is much more noticeable than the other parts of the series. So it's a lot harder to focus on, hey, this woman is doing it on her own, she's fighting and defeating the bad guys, oh yeah, when you consider the fact that she's doing it while her bust is covered by 5 strips of fabric. If that.
Conveniently placed for the reader.
Yeah, just imagine what Fairy Tail would be like if it was a seinen. Jeez.
Man.
And then just suddenly there were a bunch of Fairy Tail fans that just sighed and said, if only. Shame on you.
Shame on you.
Shut up.
Maybe I just go, well, this is a lot, okay.
Yeah, but this volume itself does have the advantage of, well, this volume is quite nice in that there's a lot of fights, a lot of pretty good fights. The characters are, you know, escaping, they're doing their thing, the plot is moving forward, and yeah, we'll kind of go from here to see what happens next. Well, we know what happens next, but...
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so the next volume will be 45, which comes out in December, and then volume 46 comes out in January, and then after that, it looks like with volume 46, we will be caught up. And so that means that, yeah, we will kind of not have Fairy Tail to talk about every single month, so hey, we may be able to talk about other series. Yep. Did you have anything to add about this volume, or did you want to move on?
It was a good volume. You said way more than I could ever say.
I do tend to do that.
Once again.
But, alright, let's go ahead and talk about the latest chapters, starting with Weekly Shonen Jump, issue 52. And we are starting off with...
the second new jumpstart.
Series E, Robot, which, or as it is called, To Love Ru... pencil scribble, pencil scribble, pencil scribble over the title E-Robot.
No, I would just call it To Love Ru 1.5.
Isn't that To Love Ru Darkness?
Oh. Damn it!
No, but... and also, I just want to say how on the nose it is that the Aero Robot, his name is I. We're like, oh yeah, call her love. That's not on the nose. This entire series is ridiculously on the nose. I mean, you've got... and it's very standard and kind of dull in its setup. You've got the main character, who's a high school student. You've got the girl that he likes, who he's afraid to confess to. But then it turns out that his dad created a robot that is basically a sexy robot that will fight, that will defeat war with its sexiness.
And her hair is pink. See, here's the thing. When I started reading this, when I saw the character, when I saw the main male character's first name, I was like, okay. And I saw his last name, like, wait, what? And then I saw the girl that he likes, wait, she looks like, and then I saw the main theme, I'm like, her hair is pink. And I'm like, oh my god, how did this guy get away with this?
It's... yeah, I don't know, but yeah, I do enjoy the name that they give her, I Roborovsky. That is kind of amusing. But the entire chapter is basically she has aero apparatuses, which is basically just things like creating a barrier with her boobs or knocking people out with her butt or curing them by licking their wounds in a very sensual way. But yeah, it turns out that the dude's dad is the inventor of the robot, and I do want to say that the series approaches it with a level of tongue-in-cheek, because we begin by having the professor who sat at a convention saying, what will save the world is the erotic, and then people start throwing stuff at him. I do appreciate that they are approaching this with a level of self-awareness that To Love Ru never managed. But at the same time, that doesn't beat the fact that this is a very, very generic ecchi series. The jokes rely on how silly the whole thing is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, geez, I just described all comedy manga. No, I mean, the jokes rely on just how stupid the whole concept of a sexy robot is, while at the same time being 100% serious in, hey, this is sexy. I don't know, it's such a weird mix of, hey, look, cheesecake, sexy fan service, while at the same time, this is a stupid idea, but look, these characters are taking it seriously. I'm confused.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. When I started reading this, I was like, okay, so this is the one that the so-called... Because I remember reading one of the comments on the actual site. Yes, I do read the comments, guys, if you guys pay attention.
Yeah.
Well, not that we get sent, but the comments on the actual site itself. But one of them was actually talking about what the e-robot like, and they're, you know, and then it was like this is the week before it came out, and then one of the editors actually commented saying, well, the e-robot is actually pretty interesting when you see him. I'm like, okay, if you say so. And I'm like, I had a feel. Why did I believe you guys? So.
Yeah, and then of course they use the, I don't know, it's like, I think my problem with this series is that it's a joke, but I don't get the joke.
Yeah, I mean, look, world's most erotic fingers, world's most erotic armpits, world's most feet, world's most erotic calves.
I mean, it is everything. It is funny in how it pokes fun at all of the typical ecchi, you know, ecchi comedy, you know, ecchi tropes. But at the same time, it's doing it while still being a completely ecchi series, which is, I don't know. It's kind of weird. I mean, around the time she uses her boobs to calculate the angle of the bullets and uses them to deflect the bullets, I was just like, okay, this is ridiculous. And then it turns out that her boobs are missiles as well.
Well, you know, Austin Powers kind of did that at some point.
Yeah, and then she reloads, and then she can reload the boobs or something. I don't know. It's weird. I'm just like, this is such a weird series. And of course, it has the usual madcap misunderstandings and all that, which, okay, fair enough. Not my first choice. Not my first choice at all.
Yeah. In terms of all the three jumpstarts, I mean, we did see the third one. This one's already on my last so far because it's just the thing with the ecchi side, it's too blunt. Like you said, they make it too serious, and we're supposed to just take it seriously, or it's supposed to be funny. Like you, think it's supposed to be. I know
it's got an interesting tone that I can't quite figure out. It's like.
Now, sadly, the readers aren't, even the damage reading people figure it out, you know, they're the ones that went into this stuff.
Yeah, well, I think the big problem, I don't know, because it feels like someone that is, you know, it feels like someone that watches an embarrassing show, and then whenever anyone asks about it, it's like, oh, I'm just watching this ironically, but they actually like it. It's like this series is being all about, oh, I am ironically showing a lot of fan service. Well, at the same time, no, you're enjoying this. And it's so weird. But let's move on to One Piece, chapter 768, The Trigger That Day. Also, trigger warning. Ha ha.
Trigger warning.
But yeah, so we get to see with Jinbei's cover story is that things are being shot out of the water. So one has to wonder how and why. And we go into the actual chapter where we go from the flashback into the present day again, and you've got Law using his abilities to fight and, you know, actually doing, it's actually really neat just seeing all the, you know, the little tricks, like you'll throw a rock behind Doflamingo and swap himself out with it and stuff, and it's like tries to stab Doflamingo, but Doflamingo can use haki to stop swords and stuff, and it's just... You know, it's a lot of fun because it's, I don't know, yeah, it's just, it's a good fight, you know? It's so rare to find that in action manga nowadays. But, and I do also, of course, love the double entendre of, is like, It's like, Luffy is a D, and so he came after you, and is like, I'm a D too. I'm like, you're a penis? No, but seriously, I mean, that slang usage of the letter D, I know that that hasn't really started until like the past couple of years, so I can just imagine Oda, if he finds out about it, will be like, why? But yep. So moving on, basically the rest of the chapter is just seeing all the different areas, seeing, you know, all the different fights going on, who's still around, who of the Straw Hats is fighting who, etc. So we also get important information where we find out that Dellinger is a fighting fish-fishman hybrid.
Yeah, that was surprising.
So he's part human, part fish, fighting fish-fishman. And so, yeah, that a lot of people have been speculating about that. And of course, you know, anyone that noticed that he had a fin was like, wait, what's this all about? And then Oda just drops that bit of information that everyone's been wondering about. And he's just like, yeah, whatever. Here, have the information. I'm like, oh. It's nice how sometimes he'll be like, oh, look, here's a reveal, but it's not actually that big a deal. But yeah, so the majority of the chapter is just kind of, you know, just an overview of where everyone is and what they're doing. So, but it does it really well, you know. And there's all these little bits and moments with all the characters just kind of doing their things, and they're all just these, you know, just these little vignettes that are a lot of fun. And we end the chapter with Law managing to get a hit in on Doflamingo and using his power on him. So we'll see what he does next week with that. So, all right. Moving on to World... Oh, sorry. Did you have something to say about One Piece?
It was a good chapter. I mean, you know, after all the flashback, I'm kind of pooped out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a good, decent chapter.
I do have to
and
say...
besides with the two pages, with the whole showing... who's fighting who, I have a feeling that might go to use a same format where he's showing the fight and they'll cut back to the others and showing how they're going to finish their fight before we cut back to the main fight going on.
Yep. I do feel that I am a little disappointed that we're moving from the flashback, because the flashback was great and I've been enjoying the flashback more than than what's actually going on. Which is a bit of a shame. I think I'm getting a little bit fatigued with this arc.
Well, this is probably how the people who are reading Arabasta felt, you know? Now we know how they feel.
There are many arcs, I'm sure, that felt really rough to read through week by week.
Yeah.
So which people is why we go through and read the read the collected volumes later, because that allows us another insight beyond, you know, the things we point out on a week by week basis.
I wonder if Jeff Ross is asking me one of the longest. It's going to be the longest arc so far in terms of the volume.
It doesn't feel that like it's been all that long, which is the weird thing.
You sure?
I don't know. I mean, I felt
it definitely feels long for me.
I felt like Fishman Island dragged out longer. the Naruto War. Honestly, after dealing with the Naruto War, I've been thinking, you know what?
Nothing's longer than that.
A year and a half of an arc in One Piece. That's not a big deal. But anyway,
that's true.
Yep. Let's talk about World Trigger Chapter 84, which I got a kick out of this one because Kurosawa says he needs to borrow Mikumo for a bit, and then is like, I've gotten permission from his doctors, and he says, if you're worried, I can get my car. As his sister, you can come with us. And both Osamu and his mom are like, mother. And Kurosawa was like, huh? Your mother? And both of them again, mother. And it's like, I love how that happens, because that's just so well done, where it's like, you know, a lesser writer would have been done something along the lines of explaining how they both said it at the same time because they were used to people constantly thinking she was his sister. No, it's just all he did was he didn't tell us, he showed us very well. It's just like by both of them with their expressions and with the fact that they both said it exactly at the same time, not once, but twice, just gives you the impression that this happens a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, kind of hilarious. Which is kind of hilarious. But yeah, and so they go and they see the press conference where it's basically all blah, blah, blah. You guys did bad, blah, blah, blah. We are the press. We're going to hold you responsible, even though we are honestly the ones responsible for most of the problems in the world because we're a bunch of fear-mongering jackasses. I'm sorry. Recent news has been getting on my nerves.
Yeah, I just want to punch those guys in the face. Each I know. Single one of them, you know?
Yeah, but then it turns out that there's a plant that's in there that's trying to shift blame to Osamu for using, you know, for using his trigger when he shouldn't have as a trainee, and thus giving away intel on the trainee triggers. And so
okay,
Osamu,
let me just cut you on that. Yeah, it was kind of funny when they said it. I was like, yeah, you know, he could have not used it because I really didn't care if those bullies died. They were assholes in the first place. They were generic assholes. But he did the right thing in saving them. He even meant going against the orders. Give on.
Yeah. And then he goes out and, you know, he's like, okay, I'm going to go explain myself. And he goes out to the press conference. And everyone's like, wait, what are you doing here? But, yeah. So it was a good chapter. I really like this. I kind of, World Trigger, now that it's done with the excessive fight scene, fight chapters, is really shining. I mean, I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm thinking, you know, I may actually just sit down and shell out the money for the volumes. I mean,
I've been meaning to. Been meaning to. I just,
volume. Yeah.
Did they come on print yet?
Yeah, volume one is out.
Oh. Man.
And so I'm thinking I should probably pick that up, but at the same time I remember, I don't know, those first early volumes were not that good.
Well, but, no. It might seem different if we read them by volume. Yeah.
I am kind of getting to the point. I'm getting the feeling that World Trigger may be a bit like One Piece in that the first several stories or chapters or whatever volumes are really not that great, but it gets better as time goes on, as opposed to all the series that start off strong but then end up sucking.
That is true. I wonder what ranked One Piece was in when it first started for the first 100 chapters.
I don't know. Well, obviously well enough that it didn't get canceled, and thank goodness. And
yeah,
so,
good point.
Yeah, I don't know. Chapters like this that are just really entertaining make me feel a little silly and remorseful that I was saying, oh, cancel it, keep cross-manage, which I, even though I like World Trigger now, I am still of the opinion, cancel it and give me back cross-manage, you bastards. But at the same time, I do feel that I owe a massive apology for my opinion on the early chapters. Anyone, if the author is listening to this, yeah, right. But anyone that was offended by my opinions of the early chapters, I stand by the opinion that they were not good. But at the same time, I also feel that I probably went a little overboard, but then again, that's what we do here.
Yeah, I already apologized in the issue when they gave his interview, and I was like, oh my goodness, this guy actually really does care, not just like the other guys. They're like, oh yeah, I wrote this, and my editor said to put this. I was like, I'm not really sure what to do, so I'm not really good at this. Oh, don't worry, you'll be good at this.
Yeah, well.
That was last week.
Yes. It was quite fun. But anyway, let's talk about Shokugeki no Soma, Chapter 96. And of course, we open with a classic misunderstanding as Soma is trying to find Nikumi and says, it's just running along the halls. And she's like, wait, what the? And he's like, listen, this is very important. She's like, yes. And she blushes and he's like, I need you to teach me about aging meat. And instantly she's like, what? And then, yeah, and then I love how later on they just skip from that and they're talking about it. I was like, oh, yes, yes, these different, I've learned about these different methods for aging meat. And he's like, right, Nikumi? That's right. And she's like, yeah, duh. It's like, what, did I explain it wrong? You look upset. It's like, no, you didn't. And she's just, I just love how she continues to be pissed about the misunderstanding. And then, of course, the rest of the chapter is basically saying, okay, we're going to age, you know, we're going to age the fish in different ways, and that way. He won't go to the market to get the tastiest one, but instead he's got it set up so that he's gonna try all these different methods over a course of time as he prepares. And they're all good, but turns out he's like, no, they're not good enough. And then he gets an idea, which, after seeing all the drinking snacks that, what was it, Miss What's-Her-Face? Fumio?
Yoko. Wait.
The old lady.
Oh, yeah, Fumio.
Yeah, she's drinking.
You said drinking, stuff. I was like, wait, you were referring to Yoko.
No. No, but Yusoma sees all the snacks, and one has to assume that he's thinking of a salt crust or something because, you know, pretzels and salty snacks and all that. So we'll see what happens. We don't know exactly what he does, but he sees the final test, tastes it, and he has this smirk as he realizes, yes, this is working. Also, what I'd like to point out is that, you know, as the others are all saying, oh, wow, this is really great, I really like how the little moment with Megumi, how she's the first one who notices that something's not quite right, how it's not better than fresh pike, which is really nice because it foreshadows, you know, her abilities as a chef. While the others are already established as really good chefs, she's displaying better potential, you know, as a chef. And so I was thinking, oh, that's a nice little moment. I really like what they're kind of doing, what they're doing with her character. And so, but anyway, let's
The chapter was hard for me because there's just so much, well, not to say talking, but so much food knowledge stuff, and I'm like, I'm not a chef, my other friend is.
I'm getting a kick out of this. But yeah, and of course you end up with them all showing off their fish, and Ryo and Kurokima and Hazama all both have like these really great looking ones, and then Soma has a box and he's like digging and pulling it out and digging in it, and he's like, that's weird, where'd it go? He's like, oh, here it is, and everyone, it's like this crusty looking fish, and everyone's like, what the heck is that?
It's like it's covered in frost to me though, but okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's salt.
Yeah, okay. But
we'll see what it does.
Too salt, not nice.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with this chapter. It had a lot of nice little fun, little moments for the characters. Well, at the same time, granted, there was a lot of talking going on. So
yeah.
But, yep. Anyway, yeah. Good times.
Mm-hmm.
All right, shall we talk about Takudo no Ageha, Game 2? Yes. Where this one, yeah, they talk about the fact that him and,
Ririka,
yeah, talk about the fact that they're engaged, and it's not, and it was explained that it's not so much being engaged as it's more like a betrothal, shall we say, but except betrothal is a little old-fashioned word, and so I guess they're not using that, but yeah, so you got some hints where it's like Ririka is like, oh, he's boring and unattractive, but he's pretty amazing when he's holding a racket, and then she gets all flustered and starts blushing. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of fun. And of course, you get more fan service, and yeah. And then, let's see, yeah, you basically the big,
grandfather.
Yeah, the big conflict in this one is how you've got these guys that are, you know, hustling and gambling in the club, and Ririka tries to kick them out because they're not supposed, it's against the rules. And so, Ageha plays them, and they make it a double, so Ririka joins in, and basically he ends up telling her where to place her racket, and that alone makes her better than the guys they're playing. And then, yeah, and then of course he ends up, yeah, I love how he's like, oh, you can handle that easy ball without me having to baby you, correct? And she gets pissed and just smashes it and hits it, and she has her moment of, you know, the first time that you hit a smash, being, you know, this moment where it's like, you know, the moment you fall in love with table tennis. And I think I've figured out why I've been enjoying this, because she reminds me a lot of what's her face, Momiji from Binbogami Ga.
Oh yeah.
And I really like it. I really like it when a manga takes a character who is, you know, she's a girl, there's fan service.
You mean
of her.
Sakura, right?
Sakura, yeah. Momiji
Sakura,
was
not Momiji.
The,
Momiji was the one who always bothered her a lot.
Yeah,
she
that
was
one,
the
sorry.
Death god thing.
Yeah, the
I think,
the
yeah.
misfortune god or whatever.
Misfortune god. There
yeah,
you go.
Death
sorry,
god.
So many.
Oh. Yeah, that's a series. I still need to read the last couple chapters of that. I kind of got bored.
You haven't?
No, I got bored.
I finished it.
I know, but nonetheless, what I'm trying to say is that I enjoy manga that will that will take a pretty girl, even though she's used as fan service. The parts that are more enjoyable is where, you know, she actually gets angry or her expression changes from the typical pretty face. You know, because so many times you've got female characters where they keep the pretty face,
but they rarely show any other expression.
Exactly. Yeah. Sorry, I was distracted by something. Yeah. So the, you know, they have like
what you're distracted by.
It feels like a lot of times they don't, you know, you manga authors or manga artists, they have their pretty girl character, but they're afraid to show them in an unattractive light, you know, so they always draw them mm-hmm. always pretty and everything. Is it kind of like what's her face from Bakuman, you know, it's like Azuki. Yeah, that's
Azuki,
it.
Azuki,
yeah, yeah. Azuki is always, you know, she's always the pretty one. Her expression never changes. And honestly, her friend, what was her face again?
Kaya
is more entertaining because she tends to get more silly faces.
And she's around more.
That too. But, you know, it's nice. It's fun to have a character like that where she's the pretty girl, but then you get the, I just love the expression that they give her when she gets pissed at Ageha and just smashes the ball. And so it gives her more personality than many other girls that I've seen in, you know, in other manga.
Yeah.
But.
Well, sometimes they don't have to be pissed. They just have to at least, you know, not always look
the same.
Pretty all the time. They can just look flustered or really goofy in some ways, like another female character like from their series I like.
Yeah, true. But, yeah. And, of course, we end the chapter with the grandpa saying, aha, yes, you know, you, in order to actually, you know, in order to marry my granddaughter, you have to defeat all the other successors of the Golden 13 or whatever. And so, yeah, it was a good chapter. I enjoyed it. It's like a nice mix. I enjoy the relationship between Ryuka and Ageha. And I actually do enjoy how they're, you know, making the table tennis be interesting and not just completely ridiculous. Well, it is still completely ridiculous, but it's not boring, at least. So
it's table tennis, just, you know, table tennis, not tennis.
Well, yes, I know that.
They still move around, though, just
yeah.
Disappear.
But yeah, anyway, let's move on to Toriko, chapter 302, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's, basically they keep traveling, they see more of those wild tsundorikos. They see that the gravity smashes this animal and just completely destroys it. And Toriko, Toriko tries to go in, and he ends up being subjected to the weight of the gravity. And he's like, whoa, this is heavy. And then he turns around, and he sees the Monkey King. And the Monkey King's butt and ball sack. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting moment there, where it's just like, whoa, what happened? What happened here? Whoa, where'd this guy come from? And that's where we end the chapter. So there was a lot of talking. It was a little dull. You know, where they're like, oh, look at the world, or blah, 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 let's keep talking about crap, or, I don't know, stuff that I really didn't care about, you know. It abused the use of the narrator a little bit, which I was just like, you know, eh. Although I did like the
moment.
Yeah,
that's the theme of Toriko. It's been doing too much narrating. Thing, I think that's turning off most of the readers nowadays.
Yeah.
It was fine in the beginning because, you know, you're saying the story, but now it abuses the narrator way more than Madoka Bok did. Mm-hmm. And Madoka Bok was abusing the narrator like heck too.
Yeah. And I think also though I was amused when we found out that pear was actually the Monkey King's testicles.
Yeah, that's the one I want to point out.
And Toriko's like, I mean, I'm familiar with testicles as a food item, but I can't believe that's what food treasure pear is. When I think about substituting that for Komatsu's heart, I have mixed feelings about it.
They're like, hey guys, I'm okay. It's like, hey guys, what's wrong? Are you okay?
Yeah, we must. Sure? We must never tell him.
Never like, tell so him. What is heart attack for
it's
sure.
Like he's like 80 years old and is like, you never told me what pear is. What? Oh yeah, it's the Monkey King's testicles. What? It's like if Komatsu ever gets a girlfriend, is like, you know, it's really weird, but every time we have sex and I orgasm, for some reason this weird white fluid comes shooting out of my mouth from my chest. I don't know why. And Toriko's like, we must never tell him, ever.
This is horrible. I mean,
it's like Komatsu, the world's most talented porn star. He can finish inside and do a money shot at the same time. Goodbye, good rating. Goodbye, humanity. I have become a monster. Oh, I'm so sorry.
We had to point that out. Seriously, I was like, wait, you're gonna end talking about the chapter about pointing that out?
And I almost forgot about it. It's like my brain repressed.
Yes, that. I was trying to go back. I was like, wait, did you forget? I was like, we'll point out, and then you're like, oh, okay, you remembered it.
Indeed. But
oh man.
It was an okay chapter. It had that.
This is why I like Toriko. When it has those moments, it's like, wait, what?
Yeah, it has its weird moments, but yeah. All right, let's move on to Bleach, chapter 606.
Bleach.
Which, I enjoyed this chapter. I mean, we had more of the fight and the two old guys being badass. We also get to see, the Vizards show up, and they're like, why did you send Ichigo? And Yorichi up there without waiting for us, you know they're gonna die, right? It's like, oh, the situation changed. It's like, you better not have sent them there because you're fine with them dying as long as they delay the enemy. And I'm like, yeah, he'd do that.
He would.
And then we find out that, Yorichi's little brother shows up with some weapons he was going to give her, and
wait, little brother?
I'm pretty sure it's a brother, because his name is Yushiro.
Oh, yeah, good point.
That's a boy.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. The hairstyle and the eyes make me think it's her little sister.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It seems more like a Kubo thing to do, to have a sort of feminine looking wimpy guy that's cries all the time, as opposed to just flat out having a girl that's cries all the time.
I never met Hinata cry a lot of the time, but okay.
You know what he does in the middle of the night in his bedroom alone. This is not related to our Toriko conversation. I'm saying he cries himself to sleep. You just know it. But yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
So Yorichi has a little brother that we never knew of until now.
Yeah, that part I was like, okay, that's weird. Why would you introduce that now of all times? But yeah. And the interesting thing is that this chapter feels like it had a lot more content. Because so often, you know, with the fights, it uses double page spreads and one image per page, that it feels so weird to have more content. And this chapter was enjoyable for that reason, because we switched between scenes and we got more content. So it felt like the chapter was more substantial. We also found out that What's-His-Face has the ability to...
Ichibei,
yeah, I thought that's what it was. He has the ability to cut names, and so the name of his arm has been sliced in two. He doesn't have an arm, he has an R. His name is strength, his arm is strength is halved, and then he cuts him, and then you're split in two. You're now Eve. I don't even know how we're supposed to pronounce that. Darn it, Kubo. But yeah, the leader of the Quincy's power has been cut in half, and Ichibei is terrifying. Very terrifying.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was a fun chapter, and I really like that idea of a power that can you know, cut stuff in half like that. And it's a very...
I know the game where it has a power that literally cuts stuff in half.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, it's a very fun sort of meta kind of power, metaphysical meta, I don't even know. It's just a very interesting concept where it's, you know, it's a power that works outside of the... you know, the physical world. And I kind of enjoy that, you know. It's, you know, I mean, honestly, if you cut something's name in half, which that's one, that's impossible, it wouldn't have any effect. But at the same time, it's a lot of fun to just sort of have those kind of strange powers that are not just straightforward like that.
So if you take Doc and you cut that in half, what do you do? What's a do?
What's a do?
What's a do?
But yeah, so fun chapter. I liked it.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Indeed. Let's move on to Nisekoi chapter 148. Which, this one's basically, yeah,
Successor.
Yui, yes, yeah, yes. Yui is doing a thing again, Ichijo is, you know, worried about her, she gets embarrassed, and then it turns out that Knight has decided you two are going to get married, and so I have removed the wall between your rooms, and I'll force you two to get married. I will steal your underwear and replace it with sexy underwear. I will put pictures all over of her in your school books. I was like, I'll trick you into getting into the bath at the same time, and yeah. And then it turns out that she steals Yui's futon, is like leaves a note saying, "You sleep with the brat." And then and all of that was of course ridiculous and silly, but then it, you know, Rock was like, "Oh, come on, you know, this wouldn't." And she's like, "Oh, are you unattracted? Am I unattractive to you?" And he's like, "Oh, look, if you were unattractive, there'd be no problem here, right?" And so she hugs him because she's happy because of the compliment. And then it turns out that that Knight had installed this thing under the floor that pushed the futon together, sandwiching them against each other. And they try to get out, but they can't. They can only get out halfway. So Raku is just pinned between the two boards while Yui is trying to escape over the top and is just draped over the edge and is just sleeping. That last page there made the chapter for me. I thought that was fantastic. Just the image of them trying to escape. Raku's like passed out. And Yui has just got halfway through and decided, "Screw it, I'm sleeping here." It was great. I like that. It's like, you know, granted, Nisekoi has the moments where it gets a little boring, but he always comes back and reminds us that he can do the silly, goofy stuff that make us love him.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Speaking of fantastic, it is now opposite day. Hi-Fi Cluster, chapter 11. We get to see the girl again, but then blah, blah, there goes something. He stands up for a kid, and the moment I see the kid, I'm like, "Oh, hello, main villain."
Yeah, totally, man. Totally.
And there was even a moment where he's like, where they're talking, and the dude's like, "Huh, I feel like I've seen him before." I was like, "Oh, seriously? It's already obvious. You're going to try to be all, 'Ooh, look, it's a reveal.'" And then he follows the dude and does, "Ooh, look, he's the bad guy." And I'm like, "You are the worst mangaka ever. It's like, seriously, this was the most obvious hackneyed cliche piece of crap ever."
Yeah.
And I mean, I know I have had many an opportunity to say so-and-so was the worst manga artist ever, usually depending on whatever is the newest series. But this is awful. This is really, really awful. I mean, if you want an example for a manga that breaks all of this conventional storytelling rules and then becomes the exhibit A of why you don't break those storytelling conventions, read this manga. Because it will show you all the creative ways you can break the rules of common sense and storytelling that have been passed down through the generations and the eons and the centuries. And it will show you why this person should not be allowed to try to break those rules. This is awful.
Well, you know, out of millions of works, there's always 10% that are always better. And we just have to look at those 9% as ways to go, "Yeah, let's try to not do that in my work, okay?"
It's, once again, this is a chapter that is showing why I'm really annoyed at the people that voted for this, and why I'm annoyed at myself for not voting, because the voting thing is messed up and doesn't work properly for me. But now, with the current batch, I'm like, I'm going to vote. I'm going to make sure that I vote for exactly what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe I should vote again on this volume, just make sure that I give Takujo no Ageha another boost.
Yeah, I voted for that one for sure, but
This is not a good series. I mean, it's not the worst out there, but it is. But it offends me in the fact that people thought this would be good. It really isn't. You can't
blame for thinking that they thought it would be good, that they had potential, that, you know, they're thinking something, but the author clearly did not think what they were thinking, or even had an idea of what they were thinking. Yeah. They can't find.
Yeah.
Well, it's not doing well in Japan, so we won't even see it anymore.
I'm hoping it gets canceled soon. This is just awful.
And there's a possibility that, according to the current rankings, I think that this would be probably the first time that, well, not the very first time, but, you know, for our generation, that this would be the first time that three new Jumpstart series, the previous ones we had, won't actually make it at all.
Yeah, well, this is the first time we've had Jumpstart series, so it's not exactly an amazing first time.
Yeah, remember Barrage, the first so-called new series that came out simultaneously? Didn't do so well.
Yeah, but anyway, let's move on to Fairy Tail Chapter 410.
Okay.
This one, let's see, what happened in this one? I mean, fighting happened, but what happened specifically? Oh, yes, this one was the one with a good moment where... you know, because we're going with a Viking theme, because the Mard gear uses Der Yggdrasil, which is a nice mix of German and not German.
Well, you know, at least we know Ku's not the one who doesn't do good at this stuff.
Yeah. But, you know, he uses, like, this plant attack, which is, you know, the world tree, which I thought that was clever. And then Grey was like, you know, I bet Grey just thought, ooh, he did that. He did this Viking thing. I'll do a Viking thing, too. And then he just invents an attack, Gungnir, which is Odin's spear, which in this case is just a giant pointy pillar of ice that he froze Natsu in the tip of, and it shattered. And Natsu is now right next to Mardgir and just beats the crap out of him. And I thought that was quite fun. But turns out he explains curse power and is all, oh, curse power is better, etc. And Memento Mori, which sounds like a Harry Potter spell, but...
It's Latin.
Yeah, so he obliterates Natsu and Grey and then turns back into his regular self. Dun, 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 dun. Oh no, Natsu and Grey are dead! Oh my!
Clearly, they aren't dead.
Yeah. But nonetheless... It was an okay chapter. I mean, I liked the bit where they had Natsu frozen in the ice and then used that to get him right next to Mardgir, because it's one of those, you know, it shows some intelligence in the fighting as opposed to being all, oh, look, punch, punch, punch. You know, it's like it's Mashima thinking about how they fight as opposed to just being, I am now using a more powerful attack. But this is definitely one of those ones where I think it'll be interesting to read it all in the same volume. Just to kind of get a sense of what the hell is going on. But, yeah. Shall we move on to Seven Deadly Sins, Chapter 105, The Nobody?
Yeah, sure.
All right, and this one's basically the let's hate the fairies because they are massive jackasses. Also the, why is Elaine naked? Thank goodness he doesn't draw the details, but why is she naked? And also, this is just reinforcing my opinion that a relationship between Bon and Elaine is creepy as hell. Especially when he picks her up and holds her against his naked chest. I'm like, stop, please. She looks like she's 10. Well, 12, I'll be fair. She looks like a short 12-year-old. But it's like, please stop that. But, yeah. And so the fairies are like, oh, you're the king. And Bon is like, don't call me the king. I'm a jackass. I'm like, yes. But then all the other fairies are throwing stuff at King, and King's all, oh, I'll take it because I deserve it. I'm like, I'm going to rip their wings off, you jackasses. And apparently his dog agrees.
Yeah. Good dog.
But yeah. And then we find out that when he puts the helmet on, that Helbrum can talk to him, and I guess the Helbrum is tied to the helmet. And so they kind of, yeah, they have a motivational talk, and then we skip to the rest of the Seven Deadly Sins and do a fun little creative bit with, you know, the sizes and the panels, because you have all of them inside the panel, and then you've got Diane that's just looming outside of the panel, which is normally reserved for showing someone, you know, just showing a different perspective, but no, in this case, she's just that tall.
Yeah, she's a giant, don't forget that. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. Right, she's a giant! Why is she so tall? Oh, yeah, she's a giant.
Yep. And then... Yeah, and then, of course, the king is giving them rewards, and it looks like It looks like Hawk is back to his old self and he's eating a bunch of garbage. And then the king is like, the seven deadly sins and knighthood of scraps. Scraps? It's like, knighthood of scraps, scraps disposal. He's like, I'll give you, like, you saved the kingdom from a terrible threat and blah, 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 Medal of Honor. And Meliodas is like, objection. And that's where the chapter ends. Good times.
Objection.
Yes. Objection! No, but, yeah, this was a fun chapter, I thought, overall. I mean, granted, it was one of those ones that made me feel, and what I felt was rage and anger at the stupid, you know, at the stupid fairies. Because I'm like, you guys are jerks, even if your anger is somewhat justified. I'm still like, you're all still jerks. But, yeah. All right, then. I think it's time for us to talk about Assassination Classroom chapter... Which one was it?
Chapter 109.
All right, 109. Let's see. What happened?
Well, Karasuma fights God of Death.
Oh, that reminds me, yes. They're fighting, and then the God of Death reveals that he has a secret... like a tiny little mini caliber gun hidden in his finger that he uses
and shoots it
so that it causes a tiny tear in the heart and then causes palpitations and the heart tears itself open. And yeah, I was just like, whoa, that's gross. But then it turns out that Karasuma and Coral Sensei totally planned for that. And it's like, oh look, I'm drinking tomato juice and spurting it out from this flesh-colored tentacle that I've got that I used to catch the bullet. And then Karasuma, of course, he's all, how dare you endanger the children, and how dare you drag my colleague into this, talking about Arena, and he beats up the God of Death.
Yeah.
It's, honestly, well, I don't...
I forgot to mention the little God of Death's little backstory, too, though.
Oh, yes, that is true. Yes.
It is important to point out, though.
It is, yeah. So it turns out that he became an assassin because an assassin killed his father, and his father was kind of a jerk, and the kid basically had this moment where he was like, oh, wow, I am entranced by the assassin's movements. This has inspired me to become an assassin myself. This kid's messed up.
Oh, yeah, should we point out how Karasuma, as he finished off God of Death...
Oh, yeah. Doesn't he kick him in the balls?
Punched him in the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Punched him!
Yeah, and he's like, God of Death is like making a mental note. Mental note, remove balls.
Frankie's a real man. He would never remove it.
I'm pretty sure that the God of Death would remove the balls, because I'm pretty sure that sex is not on his mind.
Yeah.
Except as a seduction tool or whatever, but I'm pretty sure he's not one of the ones that does seduction all that well. But anyway, I think that was, yeah, that's all the chapters for this week, aren't they?
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and, well, of course, we skipped the ones we don't care about. So let's go ahead and talk, wrap things up. And like we said, this has been episode 123. Good times.
Yep.
But, yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about the author comments. What the hey? E-Robots, Ryohei Yamamoto, I plan to use I, love, and Yuki courage to work my hardest to face the philosophy of Arrow.
Buddy, your series came a little sooner at some point. Earlier would have been better, but I'm not going to make it. Mm. With A-Robot... The way I see Eva does have a good concept, the problem is that, like you said, it's too obvious, too blunt. There's no mystery behind it at all. It's just, this is what it is, this is what it is, this is what you're expecting, instead of going, you know, allowing us to think and stuff.
Yeah, it is,
It's like he just took, edgy, just take edgy and then just work around it, instead of, like, trying to...
Well,
we're more around.
Yeah, we'll talk about it some more next week as well. But next comment.
One Piece is age-old. No matter how great the series, it doesn't get the cover for the final chapter. Gotta love Jump for sticking to its guns.
Seems like a weird thing to do, but whatever. World Triggers, Daisuke Ashihara. Someone on my staff got me some replica bread from J World. It's so dark. Interesting.
Oh yeah, it'll be dark, black. Anyways. Food Wars. Yeah, I just say Food War, why not? Yeah. Yuto Tsukuda, I went to Nagasaki for a wedding of my friend from grade school. Saburo and Ayako, may you live happily ever after. Oh, he gave them his wedding blessing.
Yes. It was like,
in grade school.
That is kind of, well, yeah. Takujo no Ageha, Itsuki Furia, thank you so much for the comment. Horikoshi-sensei, I'm going to go full throttle.
Yes.
Yes.
He believes in them too.
Do it! Alright, next one.
Toriko's Mr. Toshi Shinobukuro. My farsightedness got so bad I finally went to an optometrist. Age 39, I got my first pair of glasses. Exciting. No, I actually want to wear glasses because I don't like how my looks look to me anyway.
Uh-huh. That's not what they're for.
I know.
Alright. Bleaches, Tite Kubo. I finally saw the projection mapping augmented reality show at Disneyland. I had a great seat and was thoroughly satisfied. Cool.
Mm. Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I've been there in so long. Okay. Nishikoi Nashikomi. I've been eating a lot of yogurt lately to stay healthy. Come on, immune system. Get that boost. Yes, yogurt's good for you. It's good for your stomach.
Yep. And let's see. Hi-Fi Clusters. Ipe Goto. I went to the Torino Ichi Fair. I love the atmosphere and good work, Yusaku. Let's go drinking soon.
You'll be drinking a lot at some point.
Yeah, after you get canceled. Anyway, let's talk about our rankings for this week. Ooh, dearie me, I am going to say... Alright, fourth place for me was Nisekoi.
Hmm, okay.
Just for that last panel. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. Alright, Mo?
Fourth place would be... Bleach.
Okay, that's a fair choice.
No good.
Yep. Third place, I'm going to say Food Wars.
Ah.
I don't know. I just had a lot of fun, and I love the characters that they have in here, and the sense of comedy of dramatic, and suddenly Soma does something, and everyone's like, "What the hell?"
Mm.
Yep. You.
Takujo no Ageha.
Because
it had something that I was wanting for that most shonen manga don't do, and actually, you know, it's a little early on, it was still good enough that way. It's like, hey, look, that's the potential.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Second place, One Piece.
Ah.
Yes, it was good, but it was not the best chapter ever.
I totally agree with you. One Piece for me for second place.
Okay. My first place is Takujo no Ageha.
Ah.
Because this is just such a fun, this series promises to be so much fun. So, what's your number one?
To be honest, that's a tie between World Trigger and Toriko. Uh-huh. Toriko for that, you know, the usualness and stuff, you know, wasn't the best chapter. It's just, that whole pair is actually with the organism. I'm like, well, that's definitely first place for me. That's just
gross.
Like, and World Trigger.
Yeah.
But I get the feeling that the next chapter World Trigger would be way better. And this one is anyway.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Reference.
Be nice, press. I'm actually giving this first place because somehow you actually prove relevant for once.
Yes, indeed. Well, I think that is it. So, any questions, comments, send them to burninglizardstudios@gmail.com, and you can find us on Twitter @burninglizard, and of course burninglizardstudios.com. But for now, I think it is time to finish things up, so just remember, folks, the manga is always better, and we will see you all next week.